everyone. Welcome to the Twin Peeps Super Bowl 50 pregame kickoff special.
Yes.
I'm your host, Michael.
And with you, as always, is Kyle.
And as usual, today we're talking football.
Football.
We are excited about the big game today.
Yes, Left Shark Day.
We are recording this on Sunday. We're ready to see. Kyle, what are the two teams involved in the Super Bowl this year?
Those would be the Broncos and the Panthers.
Where are the Panthers from?
I want to say Atlanta.
Ooh, close. It's in the South. It's in Carolina.
Oh.
The Carolina Panthers.
Is literally, they just stop it at Carolina. They don't specify which Carolina.
I believe it's the South Carolina Panthers.
The Southern Carolina.
It's actually possible I'm wrong. Let's look up where the Panthers are from.
And already we're back onto our favorite segment. Let's Google it.
Let's look stuff up.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers, does it occupy both the North and South Carolina?
Maybe. It's right on the dividing line.
They're just called the Carolina Panthers.
That seems intentionally confusing.
Their home field is the Bank of America Stadium, which is in North Carolina. But it's in Charlotte, which I believe is close to South Carolina. So there's no big rivalry between North and South Carolina?
I mean,
I think if you name two things that, there's going to be a rivalry.
Well, there's not a whole lot of stuff going on between the Dakotas either.
I don't know. I think North Dakota's unhappy.
I mean, that might just be about other things, though.
North Dakota tried to change its name, like, 15 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they tried to change the name, and the other states wouldn't allow it, I guess. but, like, North Dakota implies that it's even colder than South Dakota.
Which is technically true.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is North Dakota's actually doing really well politically right now.
Huh.
Because there's a ton of oil up there.
Oh, yeah.
Or gas. I don't know. It's valuable for some reason.
Yeah. All the fracking and whatnot.
Yeah. Anyways, well, we're excited to see the Carolina Panthers face off against the Denver Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your favorite player playing today? Who do you have your eye on the field?
Peyton. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Manning.
Mm-hmm.
And Left Shark.
Ooh, Left Shark. That's a topical one.
Yeah.
Do you know who's hosting the
You mean who's performing at the halftime show?
Yeah.
It's gonna be Coldplay.
Who's the musical guest?
Coldplay. Guest.
That's not going to be fun.
Coldplay. Speaking of,
it's Coldplay featuring Beyonce and Bruno Mars, which are I believe that Beyonce played 2 years ago and Bruno played the last year, right?
Yeah.
Katy Perry played last year.
Right.
Wait.
I don't know. Never forget. Hashtag left shark. But speaking of musical guests, SNL last night.
The 1975?
Huh?
1975.
Oh, they were awful. I mean, they were fine.
Do you know what I did last night?
Did you actually watch it?
I watched Saturday Night Live live on Saturday night.
So did I, actually.
It was not a good episode.
Oh, my God. You're wrong.
Really? You liked it?
Yeah. It's not like the absolute best episode ever, but it was good.
Oh, man. Let's go through it. This is so exciting that I finally watched SNL.
God.
What?
I know.
We can talk about
it. Yeah, no. Okay. That is good.
So Larry David hosted.
Mm-hmm.
The opening cold open.
Yeah, Ted Cruz.
I didn't.
Yeah,
Ted Cruz. I don't think Taron Killam's Ted Cruz impression is good at all, even a little bit.
No. Yeah.
I love the monologue. Monologue was great.
Yep. Good.
So here's what I remember really liking. The things that I really liked.
Lay it on me.
I really liked the first sketch after the monologue, which was the one with the FBI doing the training training simulation.
Yeah, with the neon suited. What was his name?
I don't remember what the guy's name.
Yeah,
was.
It doesn't really matter.
But that one was great. I love that sketch.
Very silly. I thought with the setup they were going for a much more topical, topical sketch, but they did not.
Yeah. It was Kevin Roberts.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's it.
It was just like a disgusting person, like, but like
as they say, someone who seems like he should be in an 80s video game.
Yeah. The best part was, I don't remember who was the person who played Kevin Roberts' friend.
Bobby Moynihan.
Bobby Moynihan coming out asking where Kevin Roberts was. Bobby
Moynihan. Why does Kevin Roberts have friends in this fictional scenario?
Was that the only thing Bobby Moynihan did this week?
He might have been doing the Super Bowl skit.
The Totino's?
Yeah.
That was my other favorite. I
really like that one.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Even before we found out what was happening.
Yeah.
Just the way that Vanessa Bayer was delivering the, like,
she's so
my guys
at everything, but particularly being, like, you know, the domestic housewife
trope. Yeah. She did she was the best part of that.
Yeah.
The songwriting class I didn't like.
No, yeah, that was I didn't think that was not great.
Weekend Update didn't have that much stuff I really enjoyed.
How do you feel about John Rudnick, whatever his name is?
John, is it Rudnick?
It's like Rudnitsky. There's definitely a ski at the end of it.
John Rudnitsky.
Rudnitsky, that's it.
That sounds Polish, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it does, and good.
I'm Polish.
So am I.
Okay, great. I loved it. That was the best part of Weekend Update.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
But it still wasn't that good. It was just pretty good.
Yeah. It was definitely good space work.
But then the Bernie Sanders stuff. They did two Bernie Sanders things.
Right. They did one where Larry did the impression and then one where Bernie himself was there.
Both were terrible.
Yeah.
I think people are going to go crazy about the Curb Your Enthusiasm parody.
It was trending last night, apparently.
I can imagine that, but it's just because it's a topical sketch.
Yeah.
Although
there is the thing I...
Where's Nick Weiger? Where's Nick Weiger? This is it's equivalent to, what's it called?
Batman That I Used to Know? Or
no,
Gungan Style?
Gungan Style. It's equivalent to the Gungan Style sketch. Yeah. It's my favorite thing on the internet.
If you have not watched it, listeners...
And if you think that you would hate it, and if you hate the first 30 seconds of it, finish
yeah,
it.
Yeah, keep going. But
it has a terrible rating on YouTube for that reason.
But what's weird is that, like, even the first 30 seconds, they're fine, you know? It's not, like, the best thing in the world, but it's all right. I don't know. Anywho, yeah. My favorite...
No, it isn't.
Yeah, my favorite part of the Burn Your Enthusiasm skit was... actually Jay Farrow in it, and not necessarily for what he was doing, but it was fun for me to realize who he was impersonating despite not knowing that that person was actually on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
JB Smoove.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's doing JB Smoove. He's doing JB Smoove really well. Is JB Smoove on Curb Your Enthusiasm? Oh yeah, he is. Great.
Yeah. I'm not swayed by Jay Farrow's impressions.
He does good impressions. You might, if you're just not impressed with impressions, that's one thing. But you have to give him credit for doing impressions well.
I don't know. I think I like weird. Like, my favorite impression is Taron Kilmer's Brad Pitt impression, so I don't think...
You like when the impression becomes a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for it... Yeah, I do like Jay Farrow's Denzel Washington impression a lot.
Yeah,
I think that one's really good.
Also good.
But I don't know. How do you know JB Smoove from something other than Curb Your Enthusiasm?
He's in a lot of stuff. He's around.
Okay. But the sketch Bernie was actually in, the Titanic sketch, that was a really clunker of a sketch.
Yeah.
I hate it when they have celebrities who aren't actors come in and try to do, like, you know, reading from the cue cards and doing it. It's so awkward. Like, when, do you ever see when Jesse Eisenberg hosted and then Zuckerberg came on during the opening monologue?
I vaguely remember that.
It's, like, really cringe-inducing. It's just, like, it's tough to act. I don't blame him. I don't blame him for not being good at acting. But yeah. I blame the show for thinking, we should get him on the stage. He'll be good at it.
See, I think, especially with Bernie, I don't think that they were trying to, like, you know, like, pull the wool over our eyes as far as, like, yeah, presenting him as someone who's actually attempting to act. He's literally just himself in old-timey costumes there to reiterate his point and say a joke or two at his expense to make him hip and advertisable to the youths, which that's what every political candidate does on SNL. This isn't just me Bernie bashing or anything like that. So, I don't know. I thought that was fine. The stuff before, I was like, eh. But Bernie's stuff, I thought it was all right.
When Al Gore hosted, Al Gore did, like, a good job. I thought Al Gore did a really good job when he hosted. I don't know if you remember that.
Al Gore is personable.
Yeah, Al Gore's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, Al Gore was even good on 30 Rock. He was on 30 Rock twice.
Yeah.
He was funny.
A whale needs me.
Yeah. I think he was just doing an Adam West impression, but to play it out. But what else? 1975 was incredibly terrible.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how they're a popular band.
So, first off, have you ever heard of them before this?
The first time I heard about them was in SNL promos for this.
Okay, same. I'm glad we're on that page. Second off, the music itself was okay. It's like,
it was incredibly like that first song they played was so repetitive.
Yeah, I mean that's pop music though, you know.
I really don't know pop songs that were like. It really felt like they were just singing the chorus over and over and over for like 3 minutes.
Yep, that's they're like, you can find them. There are quite a few pop songs that do that. Like, where literally the bridge is just a recycled chorus, but with a different instrumentation underneath it. You know, that's how it's become.
I've never been so aware of it, though. It was very... Do you know their second album title?
Do I want to?
I Like It When You Sleep, For You Are So Beautiful, Yet So Unaware of It.
Yeesh.
Their first single was called Love Me, and their second single was called Ugh, UGH, exclamation mark, all capitalized.
Yeesh.
Yeah, so, ugh. Oh, indeed.
My thing about them was their aesthetic. Like, it's one of those things where I...
You didn't like that there was a guy on stage wearing lipstick.
No, I'm fine. I am actually fine with that.
Okay, you'd prefer it.
Yes, yeah. If ladies are expected to wear makeup, then why not guys, you know? I feel like it was one of those situations where if two out of the three things, or like one of the three things changed, I would be a lot more on board with them. Like, music was fine, not my cup of tea, but it was okay. How they were like carrying themselves on stage, you know, not my cup of tea, but it was okay.
I think it had a real, like, wannabe Prince vibe.
Yes, and I think a big part of that was how they were dressed. All black, lots of leather. The guy wore a blazer without a shirt underneath, which is just the worst look.
Yeah, I mean, Prince could do it.
Yeah, but he's Prince.
Yeah.
But so, if they had just worn, like, regular people clothes... I would be so much more on board with it. Because then I would just be like, hey, it's a bunch of regular dudes just having fun up there, you know?
I also felt like the lead singer was using his hair as a prop.
Yes.
Oh. And in an obnoxious way, where he kept, like, adjusting his hair to be different on his head.
Obnoxious
and, like,
is a great word for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... I really didn't like it.
Yeah. That was the... Honestly, those were the lowest 2 points of the episode, in my opinion. even despite the clunky skits, just yeesh.
What do you think Pitchfork gave their most recent album?
Oh, I don't know, man. I could see it going either way.
6.2.
Yeah, that's not whatever. The worst.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. It wasn't a great episode of SNL, so.
I still disagree. I enjoyed it a lot.
What was your favorite sketch? The Kevin Richardson one? That was definitely my favorite.
That one.
Or Totino's?
I might have to give it to Totino's.
That was good.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, they really wrapped it up nicely with the X-Files joke. I really had no idea where they were going with it.
Yeah. And it worked on another level because everyone's complaining about how the X-Files is getting roped into football these days.
People are complaining about that?
Yeah, because it's always following like Monday Night Football, and now there's like a halftime thing at the Super Bowl of the X-Files.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they're going to do like a quick like thing. I don't know what.
On like this field?
No. It's like a, like during like the a ads. Commercial? Yeah.
Who cares who's advertising and commercials?
I mean, I think the point is that no fan of the X-Files is a fan of football. It's like, why are you making us watch football?
They don't have to watch football.
But they do in order to watch the X-Files.
I think this is dumb.
Yeah. Well,
why would the show should be advertising to people that aren't necessarily going to watch the X-Files, you know?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. That's where I fall on it as well. Like, I totally understand why they're doing it, and if they have the money to put behind it, sure.
Yeah. If you want to advertise X-Files for X-Files fans, play it in commercials during the episode of the X-Files while it's on. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be ineffective.
Yeah.
So why not do it when X-Files fans aren't watching it?
Oh, no. Actually, speaking of the X-Files, though, I actually caught a rerun of the first episode of the miniseries yesterday.
I actually saw an episode when it was live going on, and I saw Camille Nanjiani running around.
Oh, yeah. That episode is supposed to be really good. I want to see that, but in order. So I have to watch the second episode first. But
have you watched all of the original show?
I petered out in season 5 because the quality really started to tank. Like, I already knew that it was going to tank because that's what everyone says about the series.
Yeah.
But
can you just pick up at any time and start watching it? It's a procedural, right?
It's largely a procedural, but there is an overarching plot.
But if I started the new series, I could start on episode 1 of the new stuff, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of, especially in the episode you watched, oddly enough, there's a lot of references to previous stuff that would not make sense. Like, there's a part where Scully says that she's immortal, which is actually a fan theory that they've now canonized.
Oh, wow. Wait, she's actually immortal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Or she might be... It might be a tongue-in-cheek reference to it. But it was kind of a fan service-y. Like, that episode is full of references to previous stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think putting Camille in it is kind of fan service in and of itself.
Yeah. Although, in the first episode, Joel McHale is on.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they're probably going to bring in a lot of, you know, contemporary celebrities.
How's Joel McHale doing?
Good.
Still doing the Soup?
Soup ended.
Really?
Yep. No more Soup.
Who was watching the Soup? For you. Who was watching the Soup?
Lots of people, apparently.
Wow, he did it for 11 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I used to watch the Soup in like high school, and then I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah.
I mean, I get it.
Sure. Was Joel McHale a writer on The Soup?
Probably. Amongst a team of writers.
Yeah. Is Community still on? Is that?
No. I think Community's finally dead.
It's finally dead?
Mostly because Yahoo, that Yahoo screen thing, I think that also shut down.
Really?
Yeah, probably because they threw a lot of their money at Community and it didn't do enough.
Yeah, I don't think people are gonna, I don't think Yahoo can do anything, right?
Nope.
Yeah, man. Can you believe Yahoo's still in business?
Nope.
they're really out of there.
Yeah.
Hey, we should probably talk about the show. The
Super Bowl?
No, Twin Peaks. Oh,
that. Okay.
A little bit. Sure. Because I also watched that yesterday.
Great.
yeah, it's convenient.
Season 2, episode 20, yes? The Path to the Black Lodge?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we are at the penultimate episode. It's crazy. It's been quite a journey.
Wait, there's only 22 episodes? Wait, really?
I think so. I think the next one is Miss Twin Peaks.
And that's the finale?
I believe so. Let me quick look it up.
I try to stay as uninformed as possible.
There might be one more after that.
Oh, yeah, no, 23 episodes in a season.
We're at the penultimate.
There's two episodes left?
Two more left. Yeah, my bad. Yeah.
Okay.
There's Miss Twin Peaks, and then there's Beyond Life and Death.
Yeah, there we go. That sounds better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, Kyle, hit me with a short rhyming summary, please.
Hit you with my best shot.
Sure. Fire away.
Wyndham's playing off the board. Lucy wants to save the planet. Ben can't stop despite Doc Hayward's wishes. Donna snoops. Jack's got a jet. Garland Briggs goes over Wyndham's files. Wyndham gloats in Leo's schemes. Bobby apologizes to Shelley finally. Lana Milford holds her marriage hostage. Leo gives himself quite the shock. Ben nominates Audrey for Miss Twin Peaks. Audrey enlists Pete as her airport chauffeur. Coop daydreams of Annie and his hand convulses. Garland meets a horse. Coop and Annie discuss attraction in Heisenberg. Audrey catches Jack's flight. Pete's hand convulses. Garland reveals the meaning of the signs. Catherine and Andrew open Eckert's puzzle box. Coop and Annie dance. The giant returns with a pretty obvious message. Pete makes good on Jack's promise of fishing to Audrey. Wyndham puts the pieces together. Bob's arm makes a return.
Sorry, my mouth is full of trail mix right now.
Great.
Yeah.
Yep.
What an exciting episode. I totally like this episode.
Yeah, it's furthering the plot. And the next two are gonna do more of the same, I think.
Yeah, a lot of exciting stuff. They really just teased it a few times, but people's hands starting to shake.
Yeah.
We see with Coop at a window once. We see with Pete. Do we see it with anyone else?
We see it with an unnamed character that is just kind of an extra, basically.
Oh, yeah, Lady Eating Pie.
Yeah, at the R&R.
Yeah. I'm sorry. my mouth is totally full. Give me a second. Yeah. So I'm guessing that's pretty highly related to Killer Bob, his arm existing again, and then the rest of his body.
Right. Right. Well, his arm comes through
some portal thing.
Yeah, out in the middle.
A cool effect. I think it was a really simple effect, but it was very... I really liked how it looked.
Yeah, no. For a practical effect, you know, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at this site in the woods that there's like a fire pit that...
Yeah.
Coming out over.
Very exciting. Mm-hmm. So let's just go through it. Weirdest character. Any new characters in this episode?
No. And we're not gonna get introduced to any new characters. You know, we're stuck with who we've got until 2017. You know?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I don't even know who's that weird. I mean,
I kind of not cheated, but I don't know. I don't really like doing this, but I had to give it to Wyndham
Earl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we got, like, no one's really out of control. No Jacoby being crazy.
Yep.
Ben Horn is pretty chill out.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we got to give it to him.
Yeah. Yeah, which is kind of unfortunate because we've already talked to death about how he's weird. You know, there's not a whole lot new to say. But speaking of weirdness, do you have a solid weirdest scene contender?
Maybe I could go with Donna's birth certificate discovery. I'm not gonna do that. That one's just like kind of odd.
Yeah.
I'm going to do Windham Earle doing his talking villain thing.
So he's talking to Leo.
And he explains like the plot of what's happening.
Right.
About how it's also a map. I don't know. Yeah. It was just very
exposition
heavy handed. And
yeah.
He was going crazy. I think I had to give it to Windham Earle just bussing out and going crazy.
Sure.
What would you say for weirdest scene?
Mine also happens to involve Windham Earle, but it's the scene where he's dressed as a horse, walks up to Garland Briggs in the middle of the woods.
How did I not say that?
Yep. Tranquilizing him, kidnapping him.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. They're dressed as like a really fake horse.
Oh, yeah. And he's making no effort to conceal the fact that he's not a horse. He's singing. Or humming, I think.
Garland Briggs, a military man.
Yeah.
Doesn't notice it sneaking up on him at all.
Oh, he notices. Like, he can hear the humming. So he turns around. He sees this person in a clearly obvious horse costume.
I thought, by the time he turns around, the horse is right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I think walking in a horse costume like that would be very loud, especially because there's the person behind you can't see where they're going.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
They'd be stomping and breaking twigs and stuff like that. It'd be a ton of noise. Garland is not very, not noticing very well.
I mean, maybe he's also just not really on the defensive, although he really should be because this is actually my thing for... worst police work. So jumping ahead a little bit, but we can obviously jump back to the scene itself. The fact that Garland decides to take a walk in the woods where earlier it's confirmed that those woods are where Windham Earle found that hitchhiker.
Mm-hmm.
So why would he go out there by himself and why would Coop let him go out there? It's like, no. Windham Earle's out there somewhere. We don't know where. It's a bad idea for you to go into the woods.
I think hypothetically some of the justification could have been that he's a military guy who can defend himself properly. But it turns out he could not.
Yeah, and I don't think he carries weaponry on him.
Yeah. It's weird that a lot of people... Like, I mean, they're in the Pacific Northwest. I feel like it's a gun-toting area.
Yeah. Well,
I feel like
some of the
Garland Briggs.
Yeah, some of the townsfolk have weapons. And I'm sure Garland does, just not on him, you know.
He should have.
Yep.
But yeah, how did that decision get made to wear a horse costume?
Like in the writer's room or by Windham himself?
I think the writer's room is the one we'll be able to get closest to. Do you think that was a David Lynch decision?
I kind of hope it is.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it seems like such a... I can't believe people agreed to that in the writer's room.
I don't mind it. There's a part of me that kind of likes it.
It didn't bother me some, like, I forgot about it to even list it as the weirdest scene, so I think that goes to show you
it's weird, right?
Yeah,
like, who's to say how the symbolism of this show actually does connect to itself, but we have already seen a scene with a horse in this show.
Yes.
Back, I think in season... No, actually in season 2. Or is it season 1? It's Sarah Palmer, who incidentally we have not seen in such a long time.
Yeah.
But it's Sarah Palmer. She is... It's when she like is basically crawling down the stairs and she's about to pass out, but as she right before she does, she sees a white horse.
Ooh, I'm remembering that.
Yeah, so we have... The fact that he's dressed as a horse could be totally random, or it could be some strange reference to that point. But also, it's definitely not a disguise. He's not wearing a disguise because he's not attempting to dupe Garland into thinking that he's a horse. He's literally wearing a costume to conceal his identity and also to confound. Like,
there's literally no reason why it would make sense to do that.
I think, yeah, other than he's just having fun with it, which I could see. I think his options are either to dress up in a disguise, because Garland knows what he looks like. So if he turned around and saw Wyndham Earl and maybe Garland did have a gun on him, immediately he would be drawing his weapon.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like the horse got, why didn't he just wear a mask?
I guess the
horse seems less threatening than if it was a guy.
Yeah, it's very disarming. I think that's why I'm fine with it, you know?
So you think it was just an element of surprise thing?
Yeah.
Like, you think this would be something Garland is later on like, we should be doing this in the military.
Right.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Let's move on to bad, and but not David Lynch. Is it?
And but David not, Lynch is no or there. So yet, but.
Bad and not David Lynch.
Okay. No, bad or David Lynch.
Well, David Lynch isn't involved anymore.
He is. Yeah, he shows back up for the last few episodes.
How does that work in the writer's room where you can work on part of the end of the season?
I mean, it's not like he completely leaves the show, right? He just, because the network kind of forced his hand and changed the show's direction in a way that he didn't want to do it, he stepped back so he could focus, I think, on Wild at Heart, actually, and kind of gave the show a lot more autonomy without his hand there. And then
proved to be a terrible mistake.
Yeah, when he realized, though, that, the show's going to end, like, they're not going to renew the season, he gets more involved at the back half.
Okay. Yeah. Bad or David Lynch? Yeah, bad or David Lynch is what it's called now. I feel like the horse scene could go there. Hold on, I'm trying to pull up my recap. Let me pull. What's yours?
I have Andy helping Lucy write her speech on saving the Earth. It's more just for Andy being Andy. Also, Lucy is very similarly portrayed in this episode, meaning that she's portrayed like adult, which she usually dumb. Is. But you know, it's kind of taken to an extreme here.
Mm-hmm.
Although we discussed this a few episodes ago, you were right. There is a cash prize for Miss Twin Peaks. It's not just a scholarship.
Yeah, it's $2,000 and a scholarship, right?
Yeah.
Let's go. Path to the Black Lodge. Oh wow. Sorry. I don't know. Okay, I'll do it. I'm gonna go with more with kid drama, and I'm gonna say the conversation that Audrey has with what is Billy Zane's character again? Billy Zane?
Jack Wheeler.
Her conversation with Billy Zane, where she arrives there
at the airport. Billy Zane's plane is taxiing, ready to take off.
And she explains, I think she said that she loves him.
Yeah. She also.
And then she says,
blurts out,
I'm a virgin. Yes. And then at that exact moment, my roommate looked over and said, what? And then Jack says, what?
See,
it's a very honest reaction.
Yeah. That's what's weird about that line is that line is very out of nowhere and clunky, but it's also in the fiction of the show. It is also out of nowhere and clunky, and it takes Jack aback too. He's not just like, okay. He's also like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So she's just like, I'm a virgin.
Right.
Let's have sex. And then they just go into his plane and have sex.
Yep. While Pete Martell waits in his truck.
Also, Pete Martell is like heavily involved in Miss Twin Peaks, and he's spending his entire day waiting for Audrey Horne to finish having sex.
Yep.
Like, he's very involved in Miss Twin Peaks. He has stuff to do.
Does he, though? I think he's just there to judge.
He was, but isn't it starting like when he's when it seemed like it was about to start? Also, there were just some like weird editing problems they had where Audrey arrives back at the hotel and then leaves and then comes back again to go to the she arrives, goes to the police station, comes back. Meanwhile, Jax has been about to leave.
Yeah.
And in the time it takes for him about to leave, she goes to the police station and comes back. I don't know. It seemed kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I see you on that. Yeah. I don't know. It's not the worst thing. That probably could have been edited a little bit better.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm seeing that the next two episodes were released together.
Yeah, back to back.
Should we watch it like that, or should we watch it one at a time?
We can do it one at a time. We're going to have an extra long episode after that with the movie. Anyway, so.
Yeah. We should do a commentary for the movie after. I don't know. Let's not put more stuff for us to do. It'd be fun, though.
I mean, we'll do a regular episode for the movie. It'll probably be a little bit longer because I'm going to tell you right now, the movie's going to be real, real weird, and it's rated R. So.
Oh, it's rated R. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And he directed it, right? Yep. This is David Lynch directing it.
Yeah. Okay. Although, also. There's a quote, I think it's from Quentin Tarantino, actually. I don't know why he was asked about Fire Walk With Me, but he mentioned that it was David Lynch just really being masturbatory. Like, just good. Going above and beyond David Lynchian for Fire Walk With Me.
That's what I'd like to, that's what I'm on board for. Okay, let's... moving on. Mm-hmm. Did you say you're bad at David Lynch?
Yeah, I just gave it to Andy and Lucy.
Yeah.
The speech writing.
I don't really remember that scene.
It's not like a super memorable scene, but it's more just Andy being an idiot and Lucy also kind of being portrayed as an idiot, which is never great.
For best music cue, I'm remembering there's a scene with Jack.
Well, did you want to give a worst police work first?
Oh, sorry. Worst police work. Yeah, I think I'll give it to Girl in Briggs as well. Of just walking out into the woods
unarmed
and not paying any attention to what's around him, even if it's a giant horse costume.
Yeah, without a gun.
Without a gun.
Yeah.
Or maybe he had a gun and he was too stupid to use it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say stupid. He just, you know, didn't think to use it because it's a disarming image.
Mm-hmm. For best music cue, I don't think that they used any new cues, but the cue when Bobby was talking to Mr. Horn was like really good. I thought the music went really well with it.
See, I'm trying to remember that music. Is it like jaunty?
No, it was like string heavy stuff. Hmm. I don't know. I just thought it I remember it. Seeming good.
Sure. Mine is the so it's when Coop and Annie are flirting at the R&R, and underneath it is just this very long ominous string.
That's so creepy. Yeah. I actually like that a lot.
Yeah, and at the same time, it's the slowest zoom out imaginable.
Yeah, and that was right after we saw. What's it called? That the lady have the pie problem.
Yeah, her hand starts shaking. Annie knocks off the pie or the food that she was serving, like from the table.
Yeah,
to kind of snap around it.
Yeah, that addition to it was super cool.
Yeah, very David Lynchian.
Yeah. Real cool stuff. Their chemistry still isn't very good.
No, it doesn't really. Their relationship is weird because they do kind of lack that chemistry. But
how do they lack so much chemistry? I feel like they're both really good actors.
Yeah. Heather Graham is pretty wooden in this show. Not to say that she's good in other things, but
I think she's great in whatever it's called. What's my favorite movie? The Hangover. No, Boogie Nights. She's great in Boogie Nights.
Sure.
I remember her being good in The Hangover as well, though.
Yeah, she's fine.
I don't think I've seen that since it was in theaters, though. So, but she's great in Boogie Nights. Yeah.
No, I get it. I don't want to say that she's a bad actress. She just seems wooden in the show. But that might also be because this is like one of her first things that she did.
Yeah. Maybe, she's going to be in the new show, right?
Probably.
Does she die?
No. Okay. I guess I shouldn't say either way.
Yeah.
But
if I was writing the show, I would kill her off.
You would?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to see what happens in two episodes, so.
Yeah, but I'm saying, they should kill off the character, though.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Just for maximum emotional punch-up. I was actually reading yesterday about the Star Wars Expanded book where they kill off Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah, which is now not
you
canon.
You heard that, right? It's not canonical anymore, yeah. But it was canonical. And it was the only time in any Star Wars Expanded Universe that a main character, that one of the original characters had been killed or anything. Yeah. And so I was reading, apparently there's like a group of authors who write them together. So they would have like big writers meetings and like big story parts.
Yeah.
And apparently they really wanted to kill off a main character. they had it in their head that they really wanted, which I think is totally totally valid.
Yeah.
And especially because in the canon at the time, there was something where there was some really evil guy out there. So if they kill a main character, it shows that, you know, no one's safe. So they gave George Lucas a list of characters they wanted to kill, and he said they couldn't kill any of them. So then they said, okay, why don't you just give us a list of characters that we can't kill? And he gave back this huge list with a ton of characters on it. But Chewbacca wasn't on it. So with that permission, they killed off Chewbacca. Apparently it was like a big deal at the time. Who cares?
I mean, I'm surprised people like, took the Harrison Ford death as well as they did.
I would have been annoyed if people had been like protesting it. Harrison Ford didn't even want to be in the third Star Wars movie.
Right.
He's not a great actor. I was reading some article that Crack.com had about like potential other casting options that could have happened
for Harrison Ford.
In famous movies, just in famous movies, other casting options that they were looking at. Because they were originally going to use Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah.
But then they got Harrison Ford to make it cheaper. Kurt Russell would have been a great Han Solo. Kurt Russell might have been better than Harrison Ford at Han Solo.
I mean,
Have you seen Big Trouble in Little China?
No.
He's great in it. He essentially plays Han Solo.
Have you seen Escape so cool. from New York?
Yeah, I'm familiar. He plays like the same. He plays like a rogue.
He plays Solid
guy.
Snake. That's what he plays.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I'm familiar.
I mean, technically,
with it.
It's the other way around. But you know.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. I think it would have been great.
Sure. No, I get you.
But I feel like a lot of people are Chewbacca fans. Chewbacca is like the lamest character in Star Wars. Is this like a bad thing for me to say? Are you a Chewbacca fan?
I mean, I don't have a strong opinion on it.
Who cares about Chewbacca?
A lot of people, apparently.
In the original trilogy, Chewbacca literally just like
growls.
Growls in a complaining way or a scary or like an angry way. That's all Chewbacca does.
I mean, I think people kind of he has kind of like a pet personality, you know, and people like pets.
I think it's weird to have a pet that's like a grown giant man.
Yeah. He's like a hyper-intelligent kind of
But super isn't pet. Isn't that what R2-D2 already does?
Yeah, but he's Luke's pet.
I don't know. I'm just saying I'm not a Chewbacca fan.
Oh, boy.
What?
Oh, boy.
Are you worried about hate mail that's coming in?
Yeah.
Should we put spoilers on this episode? Definitely. Because you're talking about Chewbacca dying in an expanded universe book 15 years ago.
Yeah, EU book.
Well, it was canonical.
Well, now it's not. So
it's not.
Too bad.
Okay. Moving on to favorite character.
Yeah. Is it Coop?
Is it Coop?
No.
No.
Yeah, let's be real. Not. It's not.
Who could it be? I'm trying to...
So, I actually have a really strange answer for this.
Go for it.
Well, let's see. I feel like, I don't know. If I were to actually put down my absolute favorite character, I'd probably give it to either Audrey or Pete. Pete doesn't have a whole lot to do.
I'm giving it to Pete.
You are giving it to Pete?
Yeah, there aren't any... I feel like so much stuff is happening in this episode, it's tough to, like, choose a specific thing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like every character has a little bit to do.
Yeah.
But I like Pete's stuff, hanging out with Audrey, and he's just so likable. Right. I really, really like Pete.
Yeah. But I think... Maybe as a backup or maybe as an aside, I think it's we should talk about Leo in this episode. Because Leo actually has a fairly redemptive moment in it.
I honestly, that was close to my batter David Lynch.
Really?
Mm-hmm. With him getting the electric shock thing and then shocking himself.
Yeah.
What was the logic behind that? He thought that if he pushed it, Wyndham Earle would get hurt?
Yeah. Which, so, yeah, there's two ways to think about that, right? On one hand, of course it makes no sense. Obviously it makes no sense.
Like, it really doesn't make any sense.
Right. But, on the other hand, you have to remember, right, Leo is fresh out of a coma.
But he's been out of a coma for a while.
Sure. He's also been in, like, this weird prisoner Stockholm syndrome situation with Wyndham Earle, where he's probably being denied food, water, like, basic necessities. He's being...
He's had some oatmeal. He's eaten some oatmeal.
Yeah. He's basically being treated like a slave, almost. Like, he's definitely not in a great mental place, I don't think.
That's true.
And so...
But, I mean, he's there enough where he's, like, walking around no problem.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. I think it more played into his desperation of, like, okay, here's... Like, sort of desperation and also this weird mental breakdown that he's been experiencing at the hands of this crazy dude.
Yeah. But with him being that weird, I feel like his instinct would have been to just run.
Yeah. Well, if he ran, then... The main reason why he did that was to protect Shelley.
Yeah, we've never seen him try to run, though.
Right.
It was to protect Shelley, so I will give.
Yeah, I don't think Leo's a runner, really. Mm-hmm. So he picks up this object that he knows to cause pain. But he forgets that the only reason why it works is because of the collar that he's wearing. So when he uses it, it only hurts himself.
I think we're giving the show a lot of credit.
I
think you're giving it too much. I don't think.
I still think...
I think it's a stretch to say that's the logic.
I still think that feels right in that moment. Like...
It kind of felt right, but I'm not...
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's meant to... I don't think it's saying that we should... Like, I don't think it's trying to say to viewers that this is a mistake that anyone can make. Like, I think it's saying that Leo, in his current condition, doesn't really have the faculties to realize that this is a bad idea or he's forgotten that this is a bad idea because he's so conditioned with his time with Wyndham Earle that he just can't really understand anymore, or he currently doesn't have the faculty to understand.
Sure, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Can I say my favorite scene?
Yes, please do.
Bobby and Joe.
Yeah, buddy.
Great scene. Super redemptive. Bobby and Shelly have had some rough times, and they talk and they explicitly talk about
it. Yeah, and Bobby's like, Bobby apologizes. It's great.
Yeah, and Bobby's like saying how it's not important if she wins Miss Twin Peaks. He just wants them to be a couple and to be happy. And then he says that he loves
her. Yeah, and it's all thanks to Gordon Cole.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of unfortunate that that's the main reason why he's come to like he's realized that he's been a bad guy.
It's not super mature, but it's still I'm still.
Yeah.
It was very, very satisfying to see them make up. Yeah. And I'm it's super exciting.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah, what scene's better than that? Nothing. That was going to be yours, wasn't it?
That's mine as well. I can't not double dip.
Yeah. We should also talk about the scene when Coop and Annie dance. Annie's wearing a very 80s dress.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's still 1991.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm such a Heather Graham fan. I want her to be not wearing a stupid dress. And then they start dancing.
Yep.
It's super boring.
Yeah.
Not a lot's going on. I'm not really interested. And then the giant shows up.
But it's not out of nowhere.
Yeah, she says, I think I'm gonna enter.
Yep.
And then the giant shows up. And he's mouthing no. He's just saying no.
Right. So Annie says, it's like a fairy tale. Coop says, and you're the queen, which is kind of a schmaltzy line.
Yeah.
And then cue the giant. Yeah, he's waving his arms wildly. He's like, no, don't do it. No.
I really like that he's like mouthing it.
Right.
For some reason, he can't say it.
Yeah.
He just has to mouth it. That was very funny.
Yeah. No, it's always good to see the giant back.
Yeah. But yeah, what a solid F.
Yeah.
We didn't have to deal. We didn't see any sign of Nadine. No sign of
Even
Nadine.
Even though she's redeemed herself in our eyes somewhat.
She's still gone.
Yep.
Bobby's gone.
Bobby?
Not
Bobby. Bobby's there.
Not Bobby. The other one.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Who's in California again?
James.
Yeah. No sign of James. What happened to Big Ed, by the way? We haven't seen him in a long time.
He's around. We also haven't seen Norma. So he and Norma are probably just hanging out. You'll see him in the next two episodes.
Good for them. Cool. Yeah. But yeah, it's super solid. Everyone's doing what I want them to do. I mean, there's some things that I wish, I think we're going to see some more stuff with Lucy choosing between Andy and Dick Tremaine coming up. They kind of tease that a little bit.
Yeah. Although at this point we're locked in.
Yeah, man. I'm so glad they dropped that little Nicky character.
Yep. He along with Evelyn Marsh are two fan disfavorites.
It's so weird that they just introduced this character that's just so lame. I really don't know who, like when they were writing it, who they thought it was for. It literally just seemed like it was padding the time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bummer. But yeah, I'm really excited about, honestly, and Josie's a knob on a cabinet.
Yep. She's a cabinet drawer knob.
Are there any plots you don't care about? Oh, there's also the puzzle thing with
Yeah, they finally crack the first part of the puzzle box open, and a smaller box is inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't care that much about that. I think that's the one I care least about.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Whatever. I'm not super... It's not the worst.
Right. I mean, like, what's in a box from a man who's dead now?
Yeah. Yeah. But there's so many levels, layers to the puzzle box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything you don't care about?
I think we're... I mean, with the exception of James. You know, James is basically dead to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still on board with everyone.
Yeah. Oh, we need to talk about Donna a little bit.
Sure.
So Donna finds her birth certificate, yep, and there's no father listed on
right.
it. Obviously, the thing to conclude is that Ben Horn is her father, right?
I mean, that's the... I think that's what they're setting up.
Yeah. But it, the really weird thing about this whole thing with... So we see the scene where Doc Hayward confronts Ben Horn.
Yes. Yeah. And he's like, Ben, stop. You don't want to bring up old things. You're going to ruin people's lives.
Yeah, but Ben's like, no, I want to do this.
Like, he wants the truth to come out about something.
Yeah, and Doc Hayward's like okay with it. He's like he's like unhappy about it, but he's like, well, it's your choice.
I think he kind of realizes that he's not really going to be able to stop him.
Yeah, so it comes across very like that Doc Hayward's kind of okay with whatever happened.
I think Doc Hayward is definitely...
very mature about it, at least.
It's clear that he's in the know about whatever is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not only is he in the know, but he's not, like... If it is the case that Donna is actually the child of Ben Horn and his wife, he seems, like, not super pissed off at Ben Horn about it.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious if that's the fact, because... I don't know. I feel like either he's super mature or it's something else.
Yeah. I think we'll have to watch next few episodes to kind of get a better read of
maybe,
that.
Maybe. But like Donna has two sisters, right?
Yes.
So I don't know.
But Donna's the oldest.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. I'm very interested. How long has, the Hayward mother been in a wheelchair? Has that been established why she
is? I don't think it ever is discussed.
Cool. Yeah. Okay.
Very Furiosa of them.
Yeah. I think that's everything then. Anything else you want to talk about? So what's the who do you think is going to win the big game today?
The American people.
Oh, there you go. Are you going to watch it?
I actually might. Oddly really? Enough.
Why?
I don't have much planned for the evening regardless. And if I don't watch it over at a friend's place, then I'd probably just, I don't know, play video games. Mm-hmm. And I don't really want to do that. So
I think that's exactly the situation for me.
Yeah. So probably.
Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. Do you want to bet on the game just to make it a little more exciting? I'll bet $1. I'll put $1 on the Broncos.
I will bet your dollar on the Panthers.
Wait.
Yeah.
You want to bet?
Yeah. You put in two.
Wait, what?
I'm going to bet one of your dollars on the Panthers.
Oh, come on. Just make the bet.
I don't know how this dollar is going to get to either of us. That's the problem.
Venmo.
Ugh. Gross.
Okay, wait. How about for when we see each other next, buying a beer? How about that?
Fine. You're calling Broncos?
I'm calling
Broncos.
All
right, I'll go Panthers. I have a $5 maximum, though.
Oh, come on.
$5 max.
Okay, fine.
Well, okay.
They do $3 PBRs at a beer at a bar.
Yeah, wherever we are, one of the cheaper beers. Don't get one of those like $12
Imperial. I'm not gonna do that, but I mean, if the pint, if the beer's like $5.50,
yeah,
though,
that's fine.
Okay, yeah, I'm not gonna go crazy. Yeah.
Don't.
All right.
No quadruple Bock Imperial BS from Canada or whatever.
Wow, you're really cheaping out on this immediately. If you win, though, you could get a sweet
thing. Oh, yeah. No, that's the plan.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll close it out. Peep on Twinning, everyone. Thanks for listening. Yeah,
peep on Twinning.
I think we talked about SNL less than we usually do today.
I know. It's surprising. It's weird because...
Well, it's because I actually watched
it. Right. So it's less of me describing what happened.
I think I like the other way more.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. All right. Well, peep on Twitter, everyone. Let's close it out with David Lynch telling us what his favorite... his favorite Super Bowl commercial. His favorite classic Super Bowl commercial.
I really like that one with the dystopian Apple ad, I think it was. Guy throws a thing at a screen. I don't know, very much likes my style.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.